There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara has a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. When we have somebody who lights a fire, so do we say Isho Mishum Chitzo, or do we say Isho Mishum Mamono? When I light a fire and it goes and burns down somebody else's property, do we assume that's like Adam Amazik? Do we assume it's like I am doing the act myself, or do we assume that's like my property is doing the act? So Rabbeinu Peretz there, one of the Rishonim, one of the Balei HaTosfos, points out, why does Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, why do they only have this machlokas with regard to Isho? Why don't they have the machlokas with regard to other things as well? When my animal goes and does damage, is that like I did the damage, or is it like my mamon does the damage? If I send the animal to do it, is it like I did it, or is it like my property does it? So Rabbeinu Peretz points out the reason why Eish is different than everything else, every other hezek that takes place, the reason why Eish is going to be different is because by Eish we know you light a little fire, and then the ruach is mesayeah. The ruach, the wind, is the one that blows the fire into the next field. So really not everything can come back, can relate back to my action. So this is where they have a detailed machlokas. Should we assume that since there was another activity that was involved, you needed the ruach, you needed the wind to come and blow the fire into another field and burn that field down, so perhaps we should say it's not like my own mice, it's like my property, like my money did a hezek. It's not like I did a hezek on my own. So that's the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rashi explains what's the crux of the machlokas. So Rashi says, like we said, that basically the machlokas here is it like my property is being mazik, or is it like I am actually being mazik biyadayim? Because since I started the fire in my field, and I know that wind always blows, and I know that the wind is going to bring it to another field, it's as if it's my maisa hezek. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina will be, says the Gemara, we know that when a person does a hezek on his own, he's chayev barba advarim. He's chayev to pay many different fines, many different fees that we pay him, that we charge him with. So if it's a adam hamazik biyadayim, if I did the hezek, if I did the damage on my own, then we would say you have to pay arba dvarim. If it's as if my property damage, it's not that it's my own hezek, it's my property doing the damage on its own, then we won't be mechayev the person to pay the arba dvarim. So that's basically the machlokas in the Gemara, and that's the way Rashi explains, and that's the nafkamina. Tosfos asks a kasha on Rashi, well, what do you mean? How can you say it's like my property does the hezek and that's the only reason why I'm chayiv? Let's say I go ahead and I actively go and take somebody else's matches and I take somebody else's papers, I take somebody else's, whatever it might be, gasoline, and I go and I light it up. Nothing belongs to me. I go ahead, I steal it, and I go and I do it, and now it burns down someone else's house. So you're going to say he's chayiv because it was his property that did the damage? How can you say, like Rashi is explaining, how can you say, Isho Mishum Mamono, how can you say the reason why I'm chai when I light a fire is because it's as if my property did damage? What do you mean? What if I took someone else's utensils and I used that to go and damage someone else's property? Okay, anyway, that's Tosfos Kasha, a very important Kasha, but not for now. So the Nemuki Yosef very famously asks on that Gemara. He says, how can you say that this is the case? We paskin like Rav Yochanan, that Isho Mishum Chitzo, which means when I go ahead and light a fire in my own property, and then it later on goes, it takes hours and hours, but later on it goes and it burns down someone else's property, we assume it's like Isho Mishum Chitzo, which means it's as if I shot an arrow, and since I started the mice of shooting the arrow, once it gets there, it's as if I did it myself. That's the way we understand the Malacha, the Hezek of Eish. So ask the Nemuki Yosef, then how do you ever light candles on Friday afternoon? If you light the candle, and the whole duration of the time that it's lit, we assume it's Isho Mishum Chitzo, it's as if I'm doing an ongoing Maisa. Every second, every minute that the candle is lit, even though I did the actual Malacha on Friday, even though I lit the candle on Friday, however, that's a continuous Maisa. Isho Mishum Chitzo, it's as if I shot an arrow, and while it's going, it's still considered like my Maisa. So that's the question, how can you ever light candles on Friday right before Shabbos? Isn't that going to be considered like a Malacha that you're doing on Shabbos itself? So the Nemuki Yosef answers as follows. Even if you say Isho Mishum Chitzo, it doesn't mean that it's like an ongoing Maisa, and the whole time while the arrow is going, it's as if you're still doing a Maisa. No. It means that right now, when you shoot the arrow, even though it didn't hit yet, but we assume that everything happened from that first second that you let the arrow go from your hand, then it's already considered like your Maisa, you're already going to be Chayiv, and that's already going to consider it as if everything's done, before it even happens. Says the Nemuki Yosef, because if not, then what happens if the person would die in the middle? If you're going to say it's a continuous mice and it only hits somebody and a few seconds later and then you die, the person dies in the middle, what are you going to say? Isho Mishum Chitzo, he's not responsible. If it does a hezek, he's not responsible. Of course he's responsible. It means, Isho Mishum Chitzo means that right now we assume that everything that is going to happen in the future, it's as if you are chayiv, you are responsible for that right now once it leaves your hands. That's the way the Nemuki Yosef explains that Gemara. And therefore he says, when it comes to the Malacha of Shabbos, when it comes to lighting the candles on Erev Shabbos, yes, we say, Isha Mishim Chitza, when I light a fire, it's as if it's a continuous Maisa, it's as if I'm doing it and it's not an outside factor. However, that all is considered like I did it in the first second after I lit the fire. So therefore, when I light the Shabbos candles, my whole Malacha is completed the second I finish lighting. And therefore, once Shabbos comes in, there's no question at all with regard to violating a Malacha. There's a very interesting Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish writes, Machlokas, the Chazon Ish, and other Achronim, what should be the din? Let's say I dig a pit. So what would he say? Would he say the same thing over there? I dig a pit, and then later on, somebody comes along and falls into the pit. So what would he say? Is that considered like everything I'm responsible for happened at the time that I dug it? Or do you say, no, everything that happened wrong only happened 5 minutes later? Nafkamina is, says the Chazon Ish, what if the person digs a pit, digs a bar, and then he passes away, and then somebody else falls in and gets very hurt? So should you assume that that is going to be the responsibility of the person who dug the pit? Or do you say, no, well, he wasn't there in the end when actually everything took place, when the hezek took place, so we won't be mechayvim. An interesting question. The Har Tzvi takes it a little further, and he says, well, what would you say when it comes, let's say, to a young child who digs a pit, and it's before his bar mitzvah, and then someone only gets hurt after the bar mitzvah? So what would you assume in a case like that? Okay, all these sorts of interesting questions, but what it comes down to is this shaila of Isha Mishum Chitzo. How far-reaching is this halacha? When I do a maisa right now, do we assume everything is considered as if my responsibility, I violated what I was supposed to be doing right now because I lit a fire, and that was a very irresponsible thing to do? Or should you assume, no, that it's like mamon, it's as if my property is doing damage and I have nothing to do with it? So the question is, does this Nemuki Yosef apply outside of Hilchas Nezikin at all? Take for example, the Gemara has in Zvachim Daf Tezvav an interesting shaila. Let's say I'm a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash and I'm doing the hazah on the mizbeach. I'm sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. V'nikta yado shel mazeh. And all of a sudden I'm sprinkling the blood leaves my hand, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, my hand gets cut off. Whatever, some kohen is walking by with a knife, my hand mistakenly gets cut off, everything happens in a half a second, and by the time the blood gets to the mizbeach, the person's hand is already cut off. So the Gemara is a suffix. Well, you have to have a hand in order to do zrika sadam. At the time that I did the zrika, I had a hand already. Now, when it gets to the mizbeach, the person doesn't have a hand anymore. So that's the Gemara's suffix. What do you assume in a case like that? Would that be a kashera zrika or not? And the Gemara says, we would say that it's possible. My time of he's of v'nasan be'inan. It says that you have to sprinkle it v'nasan, and you have to put it. Means you have to be able to put it even at the time that it comes to the mizbeach. And therefore, over here, if nakta yadu in between, we would assume that would disqualify his zrika. So the question is, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that? I'm sorry. Why should that be the case? That the pasuk tells you that would be possible if we assume that every time I do an activity, everything is considered like it's done right away after it leaves my hand. So then why should the pasuk tell you over here that v'zarak v'nasan, v'hiza v'nasan ba'inan, and if the person loses his hand after the ma'isa is over, that will disqualify his ma'isa zrika? That's a kasha samas. So the obvious answer is going to be, you have gzeiras hakasav. As in kachem, we have many different times. The rules in kachem don't follow the regular rules in other halachas. So over here, we have a specific gzeiras hakasav in kachem that says v'hiza v'nasan, even though normally the Nebuki Yosef assumes, the Gemara assumes, like Rabbi Yochanan, that isha mishim chitzo, and right away when it leaves my hand, the whole ma'isa is finished, everything's done, and there's no longer any yachas to me and that ma'isa. It already happened. Whatever happens later, it's as if it already happened before. So therefore, when it comes over here, we should have said the same thing. However, we have gzeiras hakasav when it comes to kachem, when it comes to the mitzvah of hazah, sadam, zrika, sadam, and the mizbeach, that is not the case, so that will be the exception. I would be remiss if we didn't mention, when we're talking about isha mishim chitzo, you have to hold on to your seatbelt. This is an unbelievable Rabbi Yosef angle, where he says a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, a reish lakish l'shitaso, a three-way l'shitaso. It's absolutely brilliant. You see the brilliance of Rabbi Yosef angle. So he says as follows. We have a pasuk in Parshas Tzavar. The pasuk says, v'abasar asher yiga b'chol tameh, lo yochal ba'esh tisarif. It says that when you have basar that becomes tameh, when you have the basar of kachin that becomes tameh, so lo yochal, you're not allowed to eat that. Obviously it's a lav, but esh tisarif, you have to go ahead and burn it. That's the din of burning kachim shenitmu. So the Rambam paskins this in Hilchas Psula Magdashim, that we have a mitzvah sesim midaraisa to go ahead and burn that which becomes tameh. The Rambam writes that this mitzvah is noeg ben bayom, ben balayla, ben menashim, ben ba'anashim. It's noeg by everybody, and we would assume that it can be done even by a non-kohen. Anyone is able to go ahead. If they see kachim that becomes tameh, they have to go ahead and burn it. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, what if you have kachim that becomes tameh on Yom Tov? What's the halacha? Are you allowed to burn it on Yom Tov itself? Well, you know, on Shabbos you're not allowed to light a fire, but what about on Yom Tov? Los avirish b'chomos v'sheich miyom haShabbos, but Yom Tov you are allowed to. Why? Because we have achas shiyach l'chol nefesh. You're allowed to burn fires. You're allowed to light fires on Yom Tov. So what's the halacha? Are you allowed to light a fire in order to go ahead and burn the kachim shenitmu? Well, we have a mitzvah asay. So I should have said, asay dochalos asay. You're not allowed to light a fire for no reason. But over here I have an asay which tells me that I should burn the kachim shenitmu. So maybe that should be a good enough reason to go ahead and burn the kachim shenitmu be Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, no. Why not? Because Yom Tov is an asay velose. Yom Tov has a double whammy. Yom Tov has an asay on the one hand, a los asay on the other hand, and we know ein asay doche los asay v'asay. When you have an asay on the one hand of sreifas kachim shenitmu against the asay and los asay of Yom Tov, which tells you you're not allowed to light fires unnecessarily, so the asay of burning the kachim is not strong enough to push away the asay and the los asay. So Tosfos Kiddushin actually points out, Tosfos says in Daf Lamed Aleph, well, I don't understand. That's all good for a regular person. For a regular man who has all the halachas of Yom Tov. But what about for a woman who doesn't have the asay of Yom Tov because the mitzvah asay shah azman grama? So you should say, regular rule, asay dechalos asay. Ask Tosfos, how come you've never heard of anybody who goes ahead and gives the kachim shenitmu to a woman to burn on Yom Tov? If the woman is not mitzvah in the asay, the woman's only mitzvah in the los asay. So you say over here, I have an asay of sreifas kachim shenitmu, go ahead and burn it. I have a los asay which tells you, los avirish b'chamash v'seich miyam haShabbos. One goes against the other, asay is dochalos asay. That's always the rule. Now, Tosfos is under the assumption that, okay, it's a little bit too fancy, but let's stop there. So Tosfos has that kasha, why do we have that women should burn the sreifas kachim shenitmu on Yom Tov? Now listen to Rabbi Yosef Engel. Here you go. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes as follows. Why does the Gemara have to say that the reason why you're not allowed to burn kachim shenitmu on Yom Tov is because there's an asay and a los asay of Yom Tov? He says it's much simpler. What is the simplest rule that we know about asay dochalos asay? You can only apply the principle of asay dochalos asay one when it's be'idna, when everything's at the same time. Right now, when I'm violating the los asay, I'm going to have a kiyum asay at the same time. That's the only way I'm allowed to violate the los asay. If I know for sure the second I violate the los asay, I'm going to have a kiyum asay. Well, ask Rabbi Yosef Engel as follows. Over here, it's not that way. Over here, it's not that way. He says over here, the Gemara is assuming you would have said asay dochalos asay. The problem is it's Yom Tov, and Yom Tov is on asay velos asay, so too bad. He says, what do you mean? You have a much more fundamental problem. It's not be'idna. It's not be'idna. You don't do them at the same time. Why? Because he says, the Gemara writes as follows. It's the Gemara Psachim Daf Memtes, where the Gemara says, let's say you have somebody who let's say I have somebody who leaves Yerushalayim and he realizes, oh yeah, I brought a basar kachim with me. I realize I'm not allowed to take him mechutz Yerushalayim. What should I do? So the Gemara says it depends how far you are. If you're outside Yerushalayim, very far, so you might not have to go back. And then the Gemara says, well, it depends how much meat you have on you. Says the Gemara, if you have a kezias of meat, then you have to go back and burn it. If you don't have a kezias of meat, you don't have to. You can just leave it where you are, and that's good enough. What do you see from here? Minchas Chinuch proves, and others prove from here, that what you see from the Gemara is the mitzvah of sreifas kachim shenitmu, or that when chutz l'choma, or that became nosa, or whatever it is, the mitzvah only applies when you have a shear, when you have a kezias. If you have less than a kezias of basar, if you have less than a kezias of meat that becomes tameh, you don't have to burn it. That's what the Gemara says. Somebody who leaves Yerushalayim and has less than a kezias of basar that they find in their pocket, you don't have to go back and burn it because there's no chiyuv sreifa when you have less than a kezias of basar kachim that becomes tameh. Okay? So that's what we have a Gemara. So he points out. So over here, I have somebody who has kachim shenitmu on Yom Tov. So you're going to say, asay dochalos asay, go ahead and burn it on Yom Tov. Why? Because you have a mitzvah of sreifas kachim shenitmu. You have an iser of the sevar reish b'chamas v'sheichem yom haShabbos. So you say, one cancels out the other. He says, what do you mean? How can you even have such a havmin? How can you think such a thing? You're only going to be mekayim the mitzvah when you burn a kezias, when you finish burning the whole kezias. And when you're violating the lav, right away when I strike the match. So it's not be'idna. No? Anyone following? It's not be'idna. It doesn't happen at the same time. When am I going to be mekayim my mitzvah? That's only when I finish burning an entire kezias, because the mitzvah of sreifas kachim shenitmu is only when you burn a whole kezias, only when you have a kezias. When am I violating the lav? Right away when I strike the match. So it's not be'idna. So why does the Gemara have to come onto this chiddush and say, well, it's asay and a los asay, so that's why you can't do it on Yom Tov? More simply, you can't do it on Yom Tov because it's not be'idna. So he says chatzi shir. So there we go. So he says it's tali in the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in Yuma by chatzi shir. That what? He says you have to come up with a new kimta pshat. What's the story here? I only have one little kezias of meat over here, okay? This little kezias of meat becomes tameh, and now I have to burn it. But all of it is a kezias. So the second I light that match, and one little inch of it gets burnt off, right away I'm mekayim the mitzvah. Why? Because he says, Rish Lakish is of the opinion, chatzi shir is mutter min haTorah, so memela. Once I burn off that little piece, and now we're left with only less than a kezias of basar shenidma, there's no longer a mitzvah to do the sreifa. Right? Is that clear? Not clear. Rish Lakish is of the opinion. Sorry. Rish Lakish, it's just too exciting. Rish Lakish is of the opinion that chatzi shir mutter min haTorah. We don't regard, when you have a chatzi shir, we totally disregard it. So it's like it's not here. So he says, the ukimta that you have to give over here is we're talking about a case where you have exactly a kezias of meat that has to be burnt. Okay? So what happened is I strike the match. The second I strike the match, one little part of that kezias gets burnt off. No, so now I no longer have a mitzvah. Because now all I'm left with is less than a kezias. Once you have less than a kezias, Rish Lakish is of the opinion, there's no mitzvah anymore, because chatzi shir mutter min haTorah. So he says, according to Rish Lakish, that will be biyidna, because you're being mekayim in the mitzvah at the same time as you violate the lav. So according to Rish Lakish, it makes a lot of sense. But he says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says, chatzi shir asa min haTorah. So you have a mitzvah that you're only mekayim once you burn a kezias. If you're only mekayim the mitzvah once you burn a kezias, then he's back to the kasha. Why do you have to say you can't do it on Yom Tov? Because I say, velosa say, there's a simpler question that it's not biyidna. You're not doing it at the same time. You violate the law right away and you strike the match and you start burning the cake. However, you start burning the meat. You see, I'm getting all confused. However, you're only mekayim the mitzvah once you burn a kezias. That's the kasha of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, you know what the answer is? You have to assume, like the Nemuki Yosef, that it's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaser. Rabbi Yochanan says, isha mishum chitza. Since Rabbi Yochanan says, isha mishum chitza, means when I strike a match, it's as if everything happens right now. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, really it will be bitten. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, chatzi shir asim in haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that isha mishum chitza. So memela, when I light a fire, right now it's as if everything's happening from this minute, from this moment. It's as if everything I did happened from the second that I lit the match. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, if I hold isha mishum chitza, then really it is bitten. Right away when I light the match, I'm being mekayim the essay, I'm violating the los essay, I should have said essay docha los essay. This is why you have to go ahead and come onto a new reason, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, why you're not allowed to do sreifas kachim b'yamtif, because it's an asay velos asay of yamtif. And when you have an asay and a los asay, you're not allowed to be docha that. So, how does this tie into Tisha B'Av? Very important. Because if you keep going, Rabbi Yochanan, we quoted yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan says in Tainis Daf Chavtes, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ilmane ilmalei ha'yisi ba'osu hadar, if I would have lived in the time in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, lo kavativ ela ba'asiri, I would have said that Tisha B'Av should not be observed on the 9th, it should be observed on the 10th day of Av. Why? Mipnei sheruba shalheichal nisraf ba'asiri. Because most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt down on the 10th day. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim are of the opinion, no, aschalto de peronusa adifa, the beginning of the tragedy is worse, that has a special significance, and we assume that's why we apply all the halachas of Avelos, all of Tisha B'Av is going to be on the 9th and not on the 10th, because that's when everything went wrong. Frakta Abnei Nezer, what do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan himself says, isha mishum chitza. Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one who said in Baba Kama that when you light a fire, it's as if everything happens from the first second that you light the fire. Well, if that's the assumption, why does Rabbi Yochanan himself say we should keep Tisha B'Av on the Yasiri B'Av, because that's when most of the Beis HaMikdash burned down? What do you mean? You yourself are the one who said that the minute you burn the fire, that's when everything happens. So when did they light the fire? They lit the fire on the 9th of Av. So it's as if everything happened from right then. Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, how does he say we should observe Tisha B'Av on Yud? He's a Nachri.
No, the Nachri lit the fire.
So therefore? You're saying there's only a din by Yisrael? I think it's more of a lumdus issue, that I think we assume that whenever a person lights a fire, how do we look at that ma'isa that he's doing? It's not so much...
Mitzvah.
Right, it's a Mitzvah question. What is it? So this is the question that the Avnei Nezer asked. An unbelievable, brilliant kasha. You know, you have a lot of brilliant gedolim dealing with Rabbi Yochanan Shitas all over Shas. You come up with some interesting things. So Avnei Nezer is bothered. How do you have Rabbi Yochanan Shita here that he says he should have had Tisha B'Av on Asiri B'Av? It doesn't make any sense. It's not true. So the Avnei Nezer answers as follows. He says, yes, it's true. When we're trying to figure out who's responsible for an act, you try to figure out, well, you lit a fire and now a wind blew it and it went somewhere else. Are you responsible or not? There says Rabbi Yochanan, okay, isha mishum chitzo, it's as if you did it. Your responsibility was when you let that match get out of your hand, therefore you are considered responsible. It's as if the gavra was involved in that maisa, even though the maisa happened way later. However, he says, when you're trying to think about the metzius, when you write a police report, right, and you write, what day of the month did this house actually burn down? Well, Okay, in Lamdas you're going to say, oh, everything went back to when he lit it. Okay, but what if it takes, you have a wildfire, right? So if somebody lights a match, and sometimes you can have the fire goes miles and miles and miles, and it takes a week till it gets somewhere else. What are you going to say? When you write down the police report, are you going to say, that forest burnt down a week ago? It's just simply not true. In the Metzias, it's not true. When does it actually burn? The day that it burns. So he says over here as well, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to figure out, yes, it's true, we know that in Lamdas, Isha Mishim Chitzo, who's going to be responsible? When you're trying to figure out which Gaber is responsible, you'll say, yeah, we bring it back to you because you did the act. You shouldn't have let the match get out of your hand. However, when you're talking about what day of the month did the fire actually happen, happened on the 10th of Av. That's when the more severe fire, that's when the more severe burning down the Beis HaMikdash happened. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that perhaps we should say that Tisha B'Av should be observed on Asiri B'Av. Mirtz Hashem, we should maybe this year, we won't have to observe it, we still have some time, do some tshuva, do some introspection, and maybe we once again will not have to observe the din of Avelis and Churban Beis HaMikdash.